This is The Platform Rules, digital transformation for product companies, hosted by Propel Software. Today's market puts the customer at the center of everything, which means teams closest to the customer should be armed with every advantage available to them. Learn how product information management software can revolutionize the efficiency of your marketing and sales teams in our conversation with PIM industry veteran Mark Bowles and Propel's own Jill Mueller. Let's jump in.
Jill, Mark, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Okay, so we're doing something a little bit different today. We're kicking off a deep dive into technology providers and categories that manufacturing and product companies really rely on. And today we're going to dig into the product information category. And obviously we have a PIM of our own. The goal is not to make this really about Propel. We really want to provide an overview of the market and just tell people what the real differences are between the providers that are out there so that they can make their own decisions and really deep dive and investigate. So Jill, Mark, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background here?
So my experience is all in bringing products to market. So started off in retail and worked in product development for private label, and then jumped over to the manufacturing side and got my feet wet with supply chain and distribution. And so I've seen both sides. I've seen the product side of the house. I've seen the marketing side of the house, and really know it's about blending those two together and making sure those connections are tight to really get growth out of a company.
Yeah. And, you know, similar to Jill, I've spent a lot of my time on the product side. I actually started out in content management systems, so CMS, and saw how crappy data was and, you know, pitched up to some leadership team at the time to, hey, we need a PIM. You know, we did a couple pilots, and at this point, I've probably installed a PIM, multiple PIMs. I've worked with a lot of these guys. On 50 plus brands.
Just to be clear, so between the two of you, you have built PIMs, you have implemented PIMs, and you have used them. So you've run the gamut from start to finish in terms of what you've seen in this segment, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So let's start with the basics. So for people who don't know, what is PIM at its most basic level, and you know who should care about having one?
Yeah, so I can start out with that. It's I kind of like to level set with where we are in the market today. It's we have customer shopping in more channels than ever before. And it's certainly true on the consumer side. We all know we shop in a million different places. But even on the B2B side, you know, Salesforce is telling us that businesses, over half of their revenue is going to come from digital channels in just a couple of years. So this isn't just a consumer phenomenon. We shop the same when we, you know, buy for business. And at the same time, all of us as shoppers and consumers, we want tons more information about the product itself. So I can't just, you know, read a simple text description and trust it and think I'm going to buy it. I need to see the video and the images and the 360 image and the how-to guide. And I'm going to read all of that before I make a buying decision. So for marketers, it has just been this explosion of the amount of data that they have to manage, right? When it comes to product information, they are managing more information. They're managing it across more channels, and keeping up with it is crazy. And doing that without a single source of truth is next to impossible. And that's really where PIM steps in. It provides that trusted source of truth to be able for marketers to be able to do their job in today's market.
Right. Exactly, Jill. And, you know, I think it's important to recognize that being the source of truth is great, but you are not the source of record in a lot of senses. And so there are tons of acronyms out there that store all the other data, you know, PLM, ERP, FCC, MTV, whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, we have to get that information into something in order for our merchandising teams and our marketers to, you know, not claw their eyes out of trying to figure out where to pull that information from. And to have it accurate, consistently accurate, and to be a part of the larger workflow. And then getting that information in is one thing. I'll use something that Jill says quite a bit. You know, if I have Pantone 123 coming from my PLM system for a color, I'm not going to use that for my customer. I'm going to enrich that information. I'm going to call it, you know, Fire Engine Red or something else. And so having that spot that contains that, you know, old non-customer facing data to be able to transform that and enrich that into something customer facing all in one platform is key. And of course, getting it out.
Yeah. And Mark touched on something really important there that the whole point of a PIM is to have this accurate, you know, something that's accurate, be able to feed your channels consistently. We know that customers, if they find something wrong with a product listing, all of us have done this. You've seen it on Amazon. You see one thing that's wrong and you think, man, if they got that one thing wrong, is the quality of the product really something that I want? Is this even a company that I want to be buying from, right? So, we've done research and it's nearly a quarter of all customers are breaking up with a company just because they have wrong information out on their website. So there's not a lot of room for error here. Sometimes we talk about product information and you think it's such a simple thing, right? And it's something that has real impact on the amount of trust that a company that a customer has in your company, in your brand, and it really informs whether they're going to come back and make another purchase.
Okay, so I want to ask you all a follow-up based on what you just said, Mark, and I appreciate that you pilfered Jill's example for your own. That was good. Hopefully she's not scrambling for her next example here.
We share the love here.
Right, exactly.
So you talked a little bit about, you know, you want to be the single source of truth, but you're not the system of record on this front. And then you talked about, I don't remember the Pantone number and the Fire Engine color. Yep. Where is that mapping done from, say, whether it's the back end internal facing descriptor versus the customer facing, where does that master mapping lie? Is that going to take place in a product information management system?
Typically, you're going to see a middleware piece sit between the two. You're going to see something from an MDM system or a PLM basically be an ETL, grab that information, transform it within this middleware and push it out elsewhere. Or it's going to come in its bare bones Pantone 123, and you're going to have a marketer or somebody that's responsible as part of their workflow to in PIM make that new data point. Or map that new data point. And so, you know, when we think about system of record, PIM is going to be the system of record for some data, usually the marketing information or more of a customer facing information. But you'll have other source systems that are feeding that data over. And it's usually either an import or a middleware piece that's getting that information in.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, Mark brings up a good point here that every PIM is going to need that system of record for that technical information from somewhere else, right? It has to rely on a PLM or an ERP or an MDM or something feeding it. And that's where, you know, Propel is a little unique in the marketplace that we step in and we've put those two together, right? We look at it from our PLM side and our customers building up the product and how that product gets made. And you're not needing that middleware piece to be able to slide it over into PIM and your marketing team pick it up and start moving forward. But that connection is just so critical. Having to feed it through multiple systems is often really difficult.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying on that front. So then let's step back. Now that we know what the PIM does, what type of companies really need one in order to be successful?
Yeah. Basically any company that cares about their product. companies are beginning to understand that their customer experience, whether B2B, like Jill was mentioning, or B2C or any of the acronyms there, that experience is oftentimes as important as the product that they're selling themselves. And so understanding that the time to market aspect also plays a huge aspect in aspect into this, and the explosion of channels. You're not just dealing with, you know, a few retailers and a couple brick and mortars and mom and pops anymore. It's I need to have my experiences out in the world and be where shoppers shop. But at the same point, that introduces mounds of complexity in the requirements of each of these. So that's where PIM is really, shining and creating that consistent view. And so as companies are getting on this train, they've been on this train and understanding these logistical nightmares that can occur. It's incredibly important, and it's not just a CPG company. It's medical devices, apparel, hard goods. It's really running the gamut. If you've got a product to sell, you need to be concerned about it.
Mm-hmm. And Mark mentioned that medical devices. We work with Propel a lot of regulated companies, that are working in industries like med device that. They need that information to be 100% correct all the time, and there are literally lives on the line for it. And especially with those, I think that's been an area that's been ignored maybe by the rest of the PIM market. It was so hyper-focused on e-commerce in the past that maybe some of these businesses that really needed a solution like PIM haven't been at the forefront. And that's where we've seen a big need shine and are coming to the rescue in some ways.
All right. Well, so let's talk about how we're coming to the rescues. How do these companies, not just the medical device companies, but also the longer list that you mentioned, Mark, how are they using PIM? Like, what are the different ways that they actually use this in the real world?
So it's like I said, it's kind of marketing and merchandising teams. They're picking up all of this product information that's sitting out in the wide, wide world and putting it to use as they go to market and turning it into customer facing information. So PIM is helping them focus and have that speed and agility to work in today's market without being distracted at having to chase down all of these different data sources, not having to work across a billion spreadsheets and really be able to focus on that customer experience and make sure it's the best in every channel possible.
Yeah, that the spreadsheet piece is key. I don't think, even if you're really on your game, you'll ever really get away from that. But it turns into, how do I minimize my interaction with the spreadsheet and also minimize the distribution of the spreadsheet? Because as you start to distribute that spreadsheet around and that becomes your record of source, well, then you're worried about what version is this? And have I... as a merchandiser, am I using the one that this random person gave me, or am I using the one that's actually, legit? And so getting that information together all into one system, ERP, PLM, all into a PIM, is hypercritical for the data integrity piece and ensuring that information is right every time, the first time. And so that you can distribute it to the right places in a very quick and orderly fashion. And like Jill was talking about before, Propel has a really unique approach on this, where PLM is just a part of PIM, and PIM is just a part of PLM. And being able to take that information in real time, even, other PIMs can hook in via a middleware, but we're getting that information in real time. And so it really impacts, the teams that are responsible for taking this, making modifications of that data and getting it to market quickly.
Yeah. So there's three really big areas. Mark was talking about centralizing that product data. And then we talk about with PIM, once you have that one great central source, we need to enrich it and then eventually be able to get it out the door. So around enriching, it's building up all of those customer-facing attributes, adding in digital assets. I think a lot of the times when we talk about PIM, we think about the attribute side of the house. We think about descriptions and feature copy and marketing content, why to buy, right? But digital assets, like we said, sit side by side with that information. They make just as much a difference in a buying decision and the way the customer is experiencing it today. So the really best, the best PIMs are bringing those together in a single view, right? Being able to manage those digital assets right alongside of the product record makes a big difference in the daily life of a marketer, right? If you can see it in one place, make updates in one place, make sure everything got checked off before you send it out the door, rather than having to go between multiple systems. So that's really, like, I think of enrichment as building up the nice kind of product package before it goes out the door to a customer, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, just to kind of go further into the whole digital asset management, because of yet another acronym, you know, it to a merchandiser or somebody that's using that asset on the outbound, it's just, I need to use this. I have it to use. To a marketer or to a content creation team, there's so much more about that asset that needs to be stored and kept alongside the asset for information. Is this exclusive? Can I only use it in one channel? Is this image, you know, should it be region locked, or should I be able to use this from a global perspective? What's the, you know, terms on the model that was in the shot that I used? And, you know, there's so much information that packs around that asset that, you know, if you're not able to store that information in a centralized area to use, then it's just kind of chaos with the images that go out there. And I've been through a lot of implementation processes where, you know, one of the questions I ask is, okay, where's your source of information for XYZ? You know, I got the information. Okay, where are you grabbing your assets from? And it's like, well, we have this central drive that I just kind of, whenever I need to load some assets to, you know, Amazon, I just go grab whatever I think might be okay. And it's like, man, there's so many requirements there that just are getting passed over. Amazon will suppress you if you don't have the right stuff in the right place. If you have too much of something in the wrong place, they will suppress you. If you have too little of something in the wrong place, they will suppress you. And so those requirements being built into the PIM, being built into the digital assets, being built into the distribution channel is so hugely important. Getting that information out to all those, your omni-channel space, is different for every single one. So being able to structure those, you know, kind of export profiles, if you'd call them that, being able to structure those with the information that's being enriched, getting it out the door in a timely manner is just, it's, you know, icing on top of the cake. Sometimes the sprinkles on top of the icing, but it's so hugely important.
Yeah, I have been the person sitting there looking at one version in a system and looking at what Amazon or another retailer requires in their portal to upload, and literally typing and copying and pasting onto multiple different spreadsheets into what they call it versus someone else calls it. And it is a nightmare. And then you get like the kickback that says, no, you didn't have this one field filled out and now you need to go find it all over again. So yeah. I understand that pain 100% and would have given anything to be able to have a PIM sitting there and doing it for me.
All right. So other than the fact that we want to find more Jills so that we can sell to them, I just want to help for people who are trying to make their own decision. You all touched on, or you both touched on, three different areas. So one is centralizing. So this is, again, going back to PLM, ERP data coming into a PIM so that you know where to find it. Two is then enriching it, which is kind of the mapping of the internal facing descriptor, product descriptors to that marketing facing. And then three is distributing it. So you know, when you think about the PIM market and when, you know, somebody's thinking about their PIM need, are there different categories of PIM that are more focused on one or more of those three areas? Is there something that if you're thinking about buying a PIM, you should be identifying your need of those three categories and then mapping it out to hear the two or three providers in each area?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Jill, you want to start off?
Yeah. So I would say we can kind of take them in that order, you know, around centralizing. So there are a couple of big players here that really excel, and they're coming from master data management, kind of that a little bit of an older space, and they've morphed from MDM or extended out into more specific KIM applications. So they're really, really strong in data governance and making sure you have all of the proper permissions and really making sure that the data model is strong. So someone like an Informatica or a Stibo Systems, this is really where they've traditionally played. But I caveat that with the traditional people using an MDM have been the IT team sitting in the background, and they might not be the most user-friendly interfaces for us marketing folks that like things nice and pretty and shiny and clickable. And so, you know, getting adoption out of those everyday users has been a struggle on systems like that. So I think if you're out there shopping and you're out there looking and your need is really in this area, a big thing to look for is something that has that horsepower, you know, of those data management providers, but with integration capabilities that are going to allow you, you know, to work with other systems that maybe have a little bit more friendly user interface and something that's familiar and simple for those daily users to pick it up and build it into their business processes.
Yeah, kind of on the other side of the fence as well. You know, when we think about the enrichment side, it's the adoption piece. I can't stress enough how important that is. And so what Jill was just talking about, you know, making sure that the right audience is the one that is actually using the platform, and you know, they're the ones that care about the look and feel and the user experience. Have a voice in your buying process is 100% important as well. That it's not just kind of led in a vacuum by a procurement team. But you know, to think about the enrichment side, this is more of like your typical I've received this data, now I'm going to do something with it type of role. So you're marketing, your merchandisers. If I were put the names, I'd probably say, you know, maybe a Salsify or a Kenio really do a good job in this area, because you're particularly wanting to not just be able to enrich the information, but do it kind of in a quick way, and to be able to get it out the door pretty quickly. But at the same time, it's kind of the opposite issue tends to happen in areas that are PEMs that are focused here, that they're going to be a little bit light on the data governance and data integrity type areas. And so, you know, really being able to kind of have that best of both worlds and see the being able to take kind of the workflow components and really push them through the entire process within the PIM is hugely important. And these certainly have some of that, but it's just a little bit on the lighter side, but they have a fantastic interface. They are really kind of tailor-made for that type of interaction of I'm a marketer. I want to modify my content in a similar way to the way I shop, right? And so it's a familiar look and feel. But again, it's really important that you not only have that, you still need to have those aspects of the kind of maintaining that product record, maintaining the integrity around it, making sure that kind of all the information is stored together there in a governed way.
And then what our final one is around distribution, right? So getting all of this out the door. And the biggest provider that comes to mind every time you think of distribution is Syndigo. I think were the original creator of a syndication network, right? They grew out of GDSN and, you know, had that retail mindset, and that, you know, over time morphed into e-commerce. And so they're kind of the heavyweight player if you need just pure syndication. Here again, though, like my biggest complaint of them has been that focus on e-commerce, and the other players that really focus here they've kind of ignored a little bit some of the other channels that are open to companies, right? So we know even if you're selling to retail, you probably also have direct sales teams. You might have distributors in other countries, you know, more regulated industries. You're sending information out to government agencies, out to compliance agencies. And so we found that product information has way more touch points than just e-commerce. And so those really heavy syndication players haven't shifted quite as fast, and being able to also say, how do I send this information out to all of these other touch points as well? And so that's what I would look for as a, you know, if I were a PIM buyer coming into it and say, I have some pretty heavy syndication requirements, but how am I also going to get this information consistently out to every single touch point, not just this one digital catalog?
Yeah. Sorry, Mark, did you have something to add?
No, I was just going to say, and it's just to add to that, you know, from a syndication perspective, you know, of course, e-commerce has its own set of complexities, but when you start pulling in things like medical and instructions for use and things like that, it's not just piping the data out. It's making sure that you've, you know, piped the right digital asset out into the right environment, and that it's being used in the proper way, that, you know, as you make modifications to it through a controlled process, like if it's a declaration or certification, that it gets out to the right place. And like Jill was saying, that's not always an e-commerce function. Sometimes that's I need to push this to a federal entity, so that they get it in the right manner and the way that they expect it. Or I push this stuff out to a licensing system. Like if I'm working with a group on a you know, a licensing project where I've you know, whether it's Disney or Star Wars or something like that, they have very stringent requirements on the way the information comes to them, when it comes to them, and how it comes to them. And so all of that's super important to consider. Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the questions, you know, when we start working with a customer, even over, you know, how do we build this data model, or what are our hierarchies, or what are we going to have to integrate with? One of our first questions is, where does all this information need to go? Yep. Right. It may, e-commerce may have been driving you. That may be like the growth mechanism that's funding the project, but you know, where are all the other places this has to feed to? And let's make sure to build something for you that it has that flexibility to be able to go to all of those places. You're not rebuilding this information over and over again, right?
Yep. Okay. So on the distribution front, to your point, it goes to more than just e-commerce channels. A lot of the companies coming to us are using Salesforce. Salesforce has multiple, mm-hmm. you know, customer touch points and different clouds that are all built on the platform that you can use to push the information out. There's multiple PIMs on the Salesforce AppExchange. So for somebody who is using, you know, one of those Salesforce clouds and is looking at a PIM, how would you differentiate between, you know, the major PIMs that are available on the AppExchange today?
Yeah, to your point, you know, Salesforce, that information can be going to a CPQ. It can be going into, you know, their native sales cloud, into manufacturing cloud. It can go over to commerce clouds. There's a lot of touch points just within the Salesforce ecosystem. I think up there on the AppExchange, there are four today, right? So there's Propel, obviously. We have, who else is up there? InRiver, Akinio, and then there's a new player kind of coming onto the market, PIMLY. And so Propel is really the only one there that's a full PIM that's built completely native on Salesforce platform. So we really are connecting, and because we have PLM sitting there as well, all within Propel, we're connecting everything on that product record from the very original concept, from the moment a designer says, hey, I think I have this idea, right? It goes into the PLM, it keeps in a continuous product thread, it's moving through PIM, and then it moves straight into all of those different touch points within the Salesforce ecosystem. So we really look at it as one continuous product, piece of product information that's moving through, and you're not having to go out to a lot of different systems to be able to do that. We're the only one that keeps that consistency all the way from concept to customer. and obviously being built on the platform is what's making that completely possible. I'll let Mark kind of take InRiver and Akinio.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've been told and aware, I believe InRiver and Akinio are both using connector modules. And so those kind of act as a interface to do some translation of the data to be stored within Salesforce. So it's, you wouldn't buy these connectors just as a standalone. You would have like an InRiver installation and say, okay, I also want to, hook this information up to my Salesforce organization. Same thing for Akinio, which is, if you currently have that and you're onboarding Salesforce, makes sense to go down that route and take a look, because those connector modules exist there.
And both of those are going to have that, we talked earlier about still needing kind of that source of even, the data before it comes into the marketing world. So both of those would still require some additional PLM or MDM sitting behind them as well, so that you're having multiple integrations happening before it ever gets to your sales team, right?
So you're looking at three different platforms, or actually four, I guess. You're looking at the Salesforce, you're looking at whatever Salesforce product you're using, the connector, then you're looking at the PIM that you're buying, and then you're looking at the upstream PLM or ERP that's going to feed the information in there. And I think to your point, Jill, you were saying that if you're on Propel and Salesforce, that then that's just a continuous product stream or data stream, better yet, on the same platform.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But to your point, Mark, if you've already got one of those PIMs in place and you've already got that built and you've got that, like, there's no reason to rip it out. You should consider the connector. Kind of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Absolutely. That's going to be your first go-to, or should be your first go-to. If I'm in charge of the buying decision, my immediate reaction is going to be, we have this, I see that connector, let's go give this a POC and see what, maybe it's works great, maybe it doesn't. And then you go the RFP route to see if you need to, start to acquire something different. But certainly you'd want to go that route first.
Okay.
And today, both of those connectors are one-way connectors. So it's feeding from the PIM over to the object in Salesforce. So we see with Propel a lot of information flowing the other way as well, right? We want to bring voice of the customer back into all of our product information. So we have much more of an idea of a two-way flow happening that those connector modules today just aren't allowing for.
Okay. I didn't realize that. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say the last one that we talked about was PIMLY. And like I said, they're completely new company. They just launched and are getting on the AppExchange now. So their approach is kind of giving a facelift to the product to object. That product to object is where all the product information is stored today, just native in Salesforce.
Yeah.
But it's not completely clear where all of that data, that underlying data, is being managed. From what we've seen, it still needs another PIM or another MDM, kind of another controlled data source sitting behind it. The other part here is its only output is Salesforce. So like we talked about, a lot of great connections within the Salesforce ecosystem, CPQ or into Commerce Cloud. But we know that you're going to need to push it to sales enablement tools. You're going to need to push it to a distributor portal. You're going to need a lot more endpoints that maybe the Salesforce system doesn't support. So it's right now it serves a good purpose within, if you are strictly within Salesforce, but if you ever need that information to go out, you would still need something else to then get it out the door, right?
Okay. I do want to touch on something you said earlier, though, about the two-way flow of information on the connectors that are there. So, and I briefly mentioned, I probably should have known, but I didn't realize that that was the case. So in most cases, a PIM is going to be a one-way flow from the product system of record, PLM and ERP, going to PIM and then going out to your channels. But you mentioned that with Propel, you've got a two-way flow, so the information can come back. And that means if you've got ultimately PLM attached to PIM, it means that the your quality teams, your product teams, your engineers are all going to be able to see the voice of the customer information coming, you know, back, for lack of a better word. This is what happens when you let the marketers describe how it works, but you're letting that flow of information coming back to the people who are ultimately building the products and iterating on them. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Salesforce has some really great collaboration capabilities. So, you know, Chatter is one that probably most people are familiar with. And being able to just type in something and talk to, in real time, your engineers as a marketer on a product that I'm looking at to ask a question, or be able to go back and just quickly pull up that information all in within the same platform. Like, I can't stress enough how important that type of collaboration and capabilities are. But yeah, being able to feed that information back down to say, hey, you know, we did some sentiment analysis on our reviews from Amazon and saw that although we weren't calling this out as a product feature, a lot of people ended up using this product for XYZ reason. What was outside of the bounds of what we were thinking they were going to use it for. Let's develop our next iteration and really hammer in on that and talk about that directly within the app, so that that then makes its way up into the finished good and into PIM, and then back out the door. It's all a circle. It's all a cycle.
And another great example of that is, think of Service Cloud in Salesforce, and you're seeing a lot of complaints come in the door about a product. Well, is it because the description of that isn't quite right, and we're not describing what the functionality and performance is supposed to be? Or is it because it's truly not performing the way it needs to? So is that a quality issue with our information that we've in our content we put out there, or is this a quality question for the actual product team that needs to refine the product engineering, right? So both of those can come back into the Propel ecosystem. We can use workflows, we can use collaboration within the platform to be able to figure that out internally and be able to then take action and make sure that those complaints stop and resolve those customer issues. But to Mark's point, that's happening all in place. That's not off in some separate email that you can't find, you know, a week from now. So having that two-way flow is really important.
All right. Well, thank you both for the explanations here and the overview of the market. Any final parting thoughts that you want to give to somebody who is considering buying a PIM?
I would say if you're brand new into the space and you've got just some homegrown stuff that you put together, maybe even a homegrown PIM, but it's traditionally just been spreadsheets and this, that, and the other, don't start with, I need something to just put my data into. That's not the goal of PIM. The goal of PIM is to increase your throughput and reduce your time to market. And so your outbound is the most important aspect of PIM, aside from your data integrity. And so when you're going through and interviewing your team members on and gathering requirements for an RFP, make sure that your endpoints are one of your heaviest focuses for why you want to do a PIM. Sometimes IT groups, and I can say this because I've been in a lot of IT groups, get focused on marketer ABC told me they wanted these three features in a PIM. And so that's all we're going to target. That's not the point. Those are usually nice to haves or some, you know, user interface that they want to see something happen or a workflow component or something like that. But drilling into your teams to say, where exactly does this need to go? And how do we optimize this so that we make the most money with our products with the least amount of effort in our product information? We want to be incredibly efficient with our product information and getting that out the door. We don't want to store product names six different times. And so we just want to store it once and let our product data work for us. And so it's so important as you're going through that process to really nail down those requirements up front, so you can then be, you can talk the right language when you're talking to the PIMs during the RFP process.
And I was going to take a much simpler approach and just say that your marketing teams will not be able to keep up with the pace of channel innovation and the pace of requirements sitting out in the market today. So you can either wait until there are errors and problems with your customers complaining, or you can get it today and save your marketers a lot of gray hair.
All right. I'm a big fan of that. I think that's a good place to stop. As my own gray hairs are coming out for very different reasons. But Mark, Jill, thank you so much. Really appreciate the overview on the market and the insights. As I mentioned in the beginning, I think you're two of the best in terms of knowledge of this market. So really appreciate you spending time with us here to just share some of that knowledge with us. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you for listening to The Platform Rules, Digital Transformation for Product Companies. You can listen to this show and more at propelsoftware.com/podcasts. If you enjoyed what you heard, please share with a colleague, leave a review, or email us at podcasts@propelsoftware.com with any feedback or questions. Until next time, Platform Rules.